On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. How do I get saved? Lord, save me! The cry of Peter. The cry of those who are in the boat and who venture out of the boat on the water in stormy weather. How do I get saved? Romans 10 is one of my favorite texts. I love Romans 10. I hope you love Romans 10 because Paul is going to proclaim in Romans 10 how it is that you and I get saved. Assuming, of course, anybody is even interested in getting saved, being saved, being delivered from sin, death, and the power of the devil, which, given the world we live in right now, in our country at least, I'm not always convinced that people are even interested in getting saved or in being saved. The word is near you. Did you hear that? Paul said it. I'm just announcing it. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of faith which we proclaim to you. The word is near you. And that's where it all begins. Because in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word becomes flesh. The word is near you. It's not in some other galaxy. It's not in another country. It's not up on the moon. It's not on another planet. It's not even in another town or city. Paul in Romans 10 says, the word is near you. In your mouth. In your heart. The word of faith, which is preached. Lee and I got back, I could say late last night, but it was actually early this morning. It was a long day, a short night, when you're trying to get a little bit of sleep. But we got a Bible study from Nathan Yoder at the NLC convocation on Romans 10. I thought, this is great, because I love Romans 10, and it's the epistle lesson for this coming Saturday. And I want to tell you a story that Nathan shared with us. It was 1984, and Nate was just a little kid. And his dad had taken him into town, and they were going to get some hot dogs at their favorite hot dog place. And then, as they're driving and getting close to the hot dog place, they notice on the main street there's like a billboard, there's a sign, and the sign says, remember, this is 1984. The sign says, the world is going to end in 1988. If you want to get saved, call this number. Pastor Bob. Right? Well, they got the hot dogs. They purchased them. They're on the way heading home with the feast. And Nate, a little boy, he's got those hot dogs cradled in his lap. And then he looks at his dad. Now, you have to understand, Nate is a Lutheran pastor. Nate has also got his doctorate. I mean, he's a theologian, right? Well-trained. His dad is a Lutheran pastor and theologian, has his doctorate. But at this point, Nate is just a little boy cradling hot dogs in his lap, and they're heading home. And he looks at his dad, and he says to his dad, Dad, is that right? The world's going to end in 1988? In 4 years? Dad, if people want to get saved, do they need to call Pastor Bob? Well, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach good news. How beautiful indeed. Their feet are shod with gospel shoes. And in their hands, they got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How beautiful. So Nate's just a little boy, and his dad looks at him and says, Nate, Jesus loves you. You're one of his own. You're his lamb, you know. He died for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do you think he's going to let anybody snatch you out of his hands? Of course not. He loves you. And besides, in the Bible, Jesus says that when the end of the world comes, when he returns, the angels don't know. Jesus says that he doesn't know. The only one that knows is the Father, and he's not telling. So the preacher looks at his boy. The father looks at his son. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach good news, the righteousness of faith. And he says, so son, who are you going to believe? Jesus or Pastor Bob? The word is near you. You hear me? Faith comes by hearing. And what is heard comes through the preaching of God's word, Jesus Christ. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is beside himself. He's agonizing as Romans 9 begins because of rejection, because of unbelief, because of hardness of heart. God's chosen people, Israel, has rejected Messiah Jesus. And Paul knows what that's like because he stood there while they martyred Stephen. He vehemently persecuted the way and the people of the way. And so Paul says, I could wish that God would send me to hell if it would result in the salvation of my kinsmen. What about Israel? What about the Jews? Well, Paul says, there's two things you better not forget. One, all Israel is not Israel. All Israel is not Israel. Everyone who wears a cross is not a Christ follower. Everyone who lives in the United States is not an American, or a citizen for that matter. And then secondly, Paul says this, the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. All Israel is not Israel. The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Understand this. If God is going to change his mind and take back that promise made to his chosen people, Israel, then you Gentiles, who were simply grafted on, can be cut off too. No, the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. So how do I get saved? Assuming you want to be saved, knowing that you need to be saved, how do you get saved? Lord, save me. I'm drowning. I'm in over my head. I'm going under. I'm getting buried in the water, Lord. So how do you get saved? Well, on the one hand, the answer is really simple, right? I mean, look at Romans 8. It begins with, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it ends with, neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. That's pretty powerful. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. But all Israel is not Israel. So Paul will say, in everything God works for good. How do you get saved? Well, the short answer, Paul says, is this. Those whom God foreknew, God also predestined. Those whom God predestined, God also called. Those whom God called, God also justified. Those whom God justified, God also sanctified, glorified. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not give us all good things with him? This is most certainly true. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is a limitless love by a God who loves us enough to put limits on us. This far and no farther. You hear me? You hear? Faith comes by what is heard. And what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ. Well, that's the short answer. You just have to be foreknown, predestined, called, justified, sanctified, glorified. But it's a little bit more complicated than that, Paul says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You hear me? That's Jesus' word for you. It's true. He says it. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. That means, I'm not telling you anything new. You know what that means. That means that your spouse, that means that your kids, that means that your job, your favorite sports team, nothing can be Lord in your life. Jesus won't play second fiddle to anyone. You hear me? If you confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you know. You want to know more about that? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile. Your preaching is a joke. You're still in your sin and you're as good as dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. That's your destiny. Called, chosen, beloved, elected, predestined, foreknown, child of God. That's your destiny. You hear me? Faith comes by what is heard. The word is near you. It's right there with you. That's what Paul is saying. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. But how? Did you hear that in the text? How? How are you supposed to call? Well, Paul says it's really simple. You have to have a preacher. But the preacher has to be sent. And I'm not talking just about a preacher who goes to seminary. I'm talking about the God-ordained preachers, the ones that get splashed deep in the waters of baptism in daily life through repentance, the ones who are dying and rising every day with Jesus, called, ordained by God to preach the word in season and out of season. So you get sent, and you preach. And because God has given you some Holy Spirit ears, you hear, and you get faith. You get saved. You do. Because you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. There's a man named John. John has been unemployed for the last 2 years, or I should say partially employed. He doesn't get benefits. He's just got a couple of part-time jobs here and there. Recently, his wife was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. John was in the hospital, and it was just getting to be too much. He's waiting in the waiting room, about 15, 20 other people. His wife is in surgery. He doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. And finally, the load is so heavy, he just loses it, and he starts to cry. And then he sobs, and then he moans. And the other 15, 20 people that are in the waiting room that are waiting to hear what's going to happen to their loved ones, they don't know how to respond to this man. So they decide just to be distracted, right? And there's a little girl. She's probably about 20, 24 months. She's in her mom's arms. She kind of breaks out of her mom's arms, and she just goes running around because she's free. And she just assumes there's no limits, you know. So she's running around the couch there in that hospital waiting room. And she's knocking around all the magazines and splashing in the water in the drinking fountain there. And then she spills somebody's coffee. But the people who are waiting for news about their loved ones, it's easier for them to watch this little girl than to pay attention to this man who is just weeping himself to death, sobbing and mourning. And then you know what happens? God sends a preacher, a little 20, 24-month-old preacher. He does. And because love always gets close and moves in, this little girl stops her running around. And she just moves up close. So she's only like a foot away from the face of this man who has his head buried in his lap, sobbing and moaning. And she takes her finger and she wipes away some of the tears. He looks up for a second, John does, and puts his head back down. And then she speaks. All right. All right. All right. Jesus loves you. This little preacher, she says it. And the eyes come up, and the moaning and the crying stops. The tears are still flowing. And this man, he grabs for dear life the little hand of that little 20-month-old little girl. He just takes it to his lips, and he just kisses that little hand. Because she's shod with the gospel shoes. And because she's got the sword of the Spirit in her little hands. You see? You hear? Faith comes when what is heard. What is heard comes with the preaching of Christ. Jesus loves you. You know that, right? He died for you. He forgives you. You know that. You confess that with your lips. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. You see, that's what Paul's trying to tell us. You want to know about getting saved? It's not about your righteousness. It's about the righteousness of faith. Our righteousness is like filthy rags, Paul says. It's like soiled toilet paper that you flush down the stool. That's all we've got to bring, is our disgusting sin. And Jesus takes all of it to the cross, and he bestows upon us his righteousness. Our gospel for tonight It's like an illustration, isn't it? The word is near you. Jesus feeds 5,000 plus, 15, 20,000 people. They're all filled up because he's commanded it. You give them something to eat. You guys sit down. And they all eat 12 baskets, remember? And then he says to the disciples, get in the boat and get over to the other side. And they do. They obey. And he says to the crowds, now go home. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. Go in peace, serve the Lord. He gives them the dismissal. And then what happens? He finally has a little time alone. Remember he lost his cousin John the Baptist, beheaded? He's got some time to grieve. He's got some time to commune with the Father. He's got time to pray. And then about the fourth watch of the night, 3 to 6 a.m. maybe, he decides it's time to catch up with the disciples. He takes the shortcut. He walks on the water. He does. It's in the Bible, you know. The disciples, well, the wind's against them. The waves are pounding them. You've been there, stormy weather. Life is hard. But Jesus is there. The word is near you. Did you hear it? The word is near you. They think it's a ghost. Jesus says, ego eimi, I am. Don't be afraid. Peter says, it's you, Jesus. Command me to come. And Jesus says, come. And he gets out of the boat and he starts to walk. And then he gets distracted. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. We do too. There's all kinds of stuff in life that gets us distracted. We take our eyes off of Jesus. And then what happens? He gets buried in the water. But the word is near you. You hear me? The word is near you. And Jesus grabs him and pulls him up. And they get in the boat together. And the storm is calm. The disciples worship him because that's what church does. We worship Jesus. He's Lord. He's the resurrected one. He died for our sins. And then what happened? They make the confession. Truly, you are Son of God. Ha. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead. And you'll be saved. We went on a road trip out to Connecticut to see our son. We stayed in hotels that had swimming pools so that the granddaughters could enjoy the water. And at one of those pools, I got Nora. I got my eyes on her. I'm supposed to be her life preserver. And Matt, he's got little Hopi. And Scarlett, well, she's being watched by Grandma, who's on the side. She's not in the water. Sometimes you got to get in the water. And all of a sudden, you know what those slanted pools are like? You come down the steps, the water's just at your knees. You get down there to the bottom, it's just at your waist, but it's tilted. And gravity starts to pull you. And pretty soon, it's up to your neck and up to your lips. And you're going under. Help! Now, what did I do? Did I say, sink or swim, Scarlett? Are you nuts? I grabbed her. You see what Jesus is doing with Peter? You do that when you love somebody. You do. You grab them for dear life. And you lift them up. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of faith, which we preach. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we